From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Root of Failure and the Key to Victory, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. No doubt a part of the wonder which is concentrated in the word, behold, is excited by the unbelieving lamentation of the preceding sentence. Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my God hath forgotten me. How amazed the divine mind seems to be at this wicked unbelief! What can be more astounding than the unfounded doubts and fears of God's favored people? The Lord's loving word of rebuke should make us blush. He cries, How can I have forgotten thee, when I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands? How darest thou doubt my constant remembrance, when the memorial is set upon my very flesh? O unbelief, how strange a marvel thou art! We know not which most to wonder at, the faithfulness of God, or the unbelief of His people. He keeps His promise 1,000 times, and yet the next trial makes us doubt Him. He never faileth. He is never a dry well. He is never as a setting sun, a passing meteor, or a melting vapor. And yet we are as continually vexed with anxieties, molested with suspicions, and disturbed with fears, as if our God were a mirage of the desert. Behold is a word intended to excite admiration. Here indeed we have a theme for marveling. Heaven and earth may well be astonished that rebels should obtain so great a nearness to the heart of infinite love as to be written upon the palms of His hands. I have graven thee. It does not say, Thy name. Oh, the name is there, but that is not all. I have graven thee. See the fullness of this. I have graven thy person, thine image, thy case, thy circumstances, thy sins, thy temptations, thy weaknesses, thy wants, thy works. I have graven thee, everything about thee, all that concerns thee. I have put thee altogether there. Wilt thou ever say again that thy God hath forsaken thee, when He has graven thee upon the palms of His own hands?
Break forth, O joyful heart, and make His goodness known. Who all thy life, O undeserved, such love Break forth, no longer silent be. Break forth in grateful praise to Him who came to ransom thee. Silver tear.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Joshua chapter 6, Israel had just enjoyed a remarkable victory over the city of Jericho. Yet in the very next chapter, we find the very same army suffering a humiliating defeat at the hands of the inhabitants of the city of Ai. Shocked by this turn of events, Joshua cried out to God as to the reason. The Lord gave a terse answer. There is sin in the camp. As we'll see in the course of this message, the Christian's attitude towards sin is the key either to victory or to defeat. Now to begin this message, the root of failure and the key to victory, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're returning to the book of Joshua this morning and chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And we're going to read together from verse 1. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now we come to a very important verse, and I am going to depart from the scholarly pronunciation of a little town with two letters. I'm going to adopt the Hebrew, or the, should I say, the Cambridge self-pronouncing Bible's way of pronouncing this. I think most of us have grown up calling the town Ai. Now, of course, that's not a very proper pronunciation of the Hebrew word. Actually, it doesn't start with A at all. And it has a very guttural sounding sound that means the heap. Well, if I were to adopt Hebrew pronunciations right through this, we'd be talking about Achan instead of Achan and all the rest of it, and so we're not going to bother with that. And however you have grown up pronouncing this big city with two letters, you will have to bear the Cambridge University way of doing it, and that makes me sound very learned, as we will pronounce it Ai, and I know a few others can pronounce it that way. We leave it to Dr. Barrett to get the gutturals and his peculiar way of pronouncing the Hebrew letter in the middle of this, which is ayin, and I don't know how Mike would get the ch and the ayin with a ng in the middle of it, so I'm not going to bother with all that. And in verse 2, we will have the very learned English way of pronouncing this. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to go labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? The Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, his oxen and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this solemn reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. I suppose if one verse could be taken to sum up the entire teaching of this chapter of the book of Joshua, it would be in verse 13, Up, sanctify the people and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. There's an accursed thing among you. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. The period following Joshua's assumption of the leadership of Israel until the fall of the city of Jericho was one of unqualified success, both for him and for the entire people of Israel. The presence of the Lord among them was very real. The spiritual preparedness and the military preparedness of the people were complete for their assault upon the promised land. The manifestations of the Lord's power and of the Lord's favor amongst his people flowed unhindered. Things could hardly have been better for Joshua and for the children of Israel than they were at that period of time. It appeared that there was absolutely nothing that could hinder, much less stop, Israel's speedy conquest of the entire land of Canaan. Things were going well. and then disaster struck. After conquering Jericho, Israel sent agents out to report upon the next obstacle that lay in their pathway. That next obstacle was the relatively insignificant town of Ai. It would pose very little difficulty for the victorious armies of Israel. And so these agents said, send no more than, say, 3,000 soldiers. Don't bother all the people. Don't make the whole army labor. 3,000 men will be enough to look after that little place. But they found out that Ai was not quite so insignificant as they thought. First of all, it was not so small. And instead of being able to field a very paltry little army, they could turn out 12,000 seasoned warriors. And the 12,000 men of Ai chased the 3,000 Israeli attackers and killed 36 of them. If the fall of Jericho had filled the children of Israel with confidence and sent shivers of apprehension through the cities of Canaan, undoubtedly the success of the men of Ai threw the Jews into a fit of depression and must have engendered great hope in all the fainting hearts in the other cities and kingdoms of the land of Canaan. Joshua was naturally devastated. And as a man of God, when he was devastated, he went before the Lord. We have read this morning how he cried, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people into this land over Jordan in order to destroy them?" Then he said, "Lord, what will I say when Israel turns her back upon her enemies? What will I say when the armies of God are a laughing stock? What will I say when the name of Jehovah is mocked in the name of heathen deities? What's going to happen? How did we ever get here? Why did we ever come here?" He was lamenting before the Lord. The Lord's answer was peremptory. He said to Joshua, if you look at verse 10 through 12, "Get thee up." Now that was a very abrupt way of speaking. Joshua was on his face before God. God says, "Joshua, get up. Why are you lying in your face before me?" There's no great secret about this. Israel has sinned. Israel has taken of the accursed thing. She has dissembled and hidden this cursed thing in the midst of the camp. As we read, "Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies." Someone had flaunted the very plain command of the Lord. Back in Joshua chapter 6, before Jericho was taken, the Lord had given a very clear, unmistakable command. In verse 17 and following, he said that the city shall be accursed. The word accursed carries the force of devoted to God. In this case, it's devoted to destruction. But he says it's accursed, and all that are therein, with the exception of Rahab and her family, will be saved. And he says in verse 18, "Ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and the camp of Israel, you make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. The silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They come into the treasury of the Lord." I don't want to get off on a tangent there. But Israel had to learn, first of all, obedience to God. Second, she had to learn that the first fruit of her conquest in the promised land, coming as it did from the hand of God, was the Lord's. She had to learn to live not by lust, but by faith. All these things were embedded in this very clear commandment of God. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing. If you take the accursed thing, you will curse yourself, you will curse the camp, you will trouble the nation, you will bring down the displeasure of the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.